Welcome back to 770CHQR and More Than Money. And I get the privilege of speaking to people who are managing millions and billions of dollars. And in a time like this, what the heck are they doing? How are they investing? And when you come across so many great, talented people like Dave Popp, which I get to do with members across the investment community, you kind of get an idea of how they think, more importantly, how they invest. And I think when you bring in someone who's had such great success over the long term and right now sees the world, more importantly, the investment world, a little bit different than what conventional thought is, I have to bring him on my show. And so I've got Ty Busada. He is the portfolio manager, founding partner at EdgePoint Investments Group. Ty, welcome to the show.
Faisal, thank you very much. It's a real pleasure to be here with you.
So we've got a bunch of things happening in the world today. We've had conversations in the past about how people should be managing their money. Let's kind of go through what you and your team at EdgePoint does when it comes to how do you figure out what to invest into and what not to.
Absolutely. I think our primary goal is really just to focus on trying to buy a business that's going to look materially different in the future, usually meaning bigger in the future where you're not being asked to pay for that growth today. So we tend to look out 5 years into the future and say, is this business going to be materially bigger? And why is it going to be materially bigger? Is it going to move into a new market? Is it going to launch a new product? Is it going to take share in its existing market, for example? And is there something going on right now that's allowing us to buy that future growth and not pay for it? And we've been doing this for a very long time, and it's worked successfully. We think buying growth and not paying for it is a path to creating wealth over the long term.
Okay, that sounds lovely. Buy growth and not pay for it. That's fantastic. So break it down for our average listener out there, this Canadian who's watching the headlines, hearing all these stories of companies that have just done so well because of either the pandemic or their business model, and their price or their valuation so high. Walk me through how you find companies that you can buy without paying for their growth.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, if I were to stand in front of a very fancy car and say I'm a seller of these cars for a dollar each, I think you'd have a lineup 5 kilometers long of people willing to buy this fancy car for a dollar each. And likewise, tomorrow, if I were a seller at $2 each, you'd have the same amount of people doing the exact same thing and not begrudging the fact that yesterday it cost a dollar and today it costs $2 because they think the value, or they know the value of the car is probably $50,000. Or likewise, if I held up a cup of Tim Hortons coffee and said, I'm a buyer of these cups at $1 million each, people would run out and buy as many cups as they could and try and sell them back to me for $1 million. And tomorrow, if I'm doing it at $500,000, they'd do the exact same thing and not begrudge that yesterday they got $1 million and, you know, today they're only getting $500,000. Why? Because they know the values, a dollar or two for that cup of coffee. But let me ask you this. What ends up happening if the price of the company that owns Tim Hortons, a company called Restaurant Brands International, falls by 25% in the span of a couple of days or a week or even one day? Most investors panic. Why? Because there's very little as uncomfortable as watching the price of something you own go down if you don't know what the value of that something is. It's our job to know the value of these businesses. It's our job to be able to understand the business so well that we can see that in Restaurant Brands case, for example, their business is going to be able to continue to grow into the future because of either Tim Hortons or some of the other brands that they might own, like a Burger King or a Popeyes. And therefore, the sudden price movement in that share price allows us to buy that future growth and not pay for it. I hope that answers the question.
Oh, it does. It does help, because when you're looking at something as simple of a concept for Canadians like Tim Hortons, that makes sense. We understand that there's going to be more and more coffee being sold out there. But when you're looking at businesses out there, and for the average investor or the average client of an advisor, they may not understand the value of an individual company, and they look at just the stock market itself. And the stock market itself has a whole bunch of risks out there. So let's talk about, you know, what risks are investors facing today?
I would say that if you look at what investors tend to want to do, they want to make decisions about how to get to their goal. Let's call their goal, their financial goal, point B. And today being point A, they tend to want to make decisions about how to get to point B based on how they feel around point A, meaning their emotions around today dictate how they're going to invest for the long term. And through history, 100% of the time, that's proven to be a failing strategy, but the average investor constantly chooses to do that. So let me give you an example of what makes people feel comfortable today. One of the things that make people feel comfortable today is buying things that have benefited from the pandemic, irrespective of valuation. So let's call those companies the obvious growers. And if you look at this group of obvious growers. Let's even peel it back a little bit more. Let's look at the United States and say, let's pull out the 750 largest companies in the U.S. and look at the 75, so the top 10% with the best growth profile. And if you look at that group of 75, it contains a lot of businesses that benefit from what's going on today with COVID. And you look at the valuation of those 75 companies relative to the valuation of the rest of the businesses in that top 750, that relative valuation today is higher than it's been over the last 70 years, over the last seven decades. So essentially, dating back to the end of World War II, people have never paid relatively more to own businesses that are growing than they are today. But yet, it makes them feel comfortable to own those businesses today. So the price that they're paying for those businesses relative to the value has never been higher. Now, it's a situation where it's not unique. People tend to make these same mistakes time and again. And if you go back over the last, I'm going to say 50 years because I happen to be close to 50 years old, and just walk you through these mistakes being made time and again, I think it'll be truly instructive as to why you shouldn't be making decisions based on how you feel around point A on how you're going to get to point B. So let me just very quickly, in less than a minute or two, just walk you through 50 years worth of history of people making the wrong decision around point A because of their emotions. So if you go back to when I was born, it was in the early 70s, and back then there was a group of 50 companies that everyone thought was just going to grow. And all you had to do was own these 50 companies, and that valuation didn't matter. As long as you own these 50 companies, you're going to do just fine. And those 50 companies were called the Nifty 50. Had you bought into that, like everyone else was buying into that because it made you feel comfortable, what ended up happening was within a decade, you'd lost about half your money because people weren't paying attention to valuation when they did that. Fast forward to the end of the 1970s now, and then it's Jimmy Carter, the president of the United States, going on television and saying, my fellow Americans, turn down your thermostats and wear sweaters this winter because in a couple of years, we're going to start running out of oil, if you could believe it. And the oil price spiked. And what ended up happening then was a lot of people, some of the people I even knew, went out and bought oil. And more importantly, in my case, I know people that buried a tank of oil in their backyard because they were worried that the world was going to run out of the stuff or it was going to get a lot more expensive. 25 years later, it cost these people that I knew more money to pull the oil out of the ground, that tank out of the ground, than the oil inside was worth. Again, a mistake that was made, and now it's permanent destruction of capital. You go to the 80s, and it's different this time. It's not a commodity like oil, or it's not a group of companies, but this time it's a country. All you have to do is buy the Japanese Nikkei because it's only going to go up, and everyone's going to be buying televisions and Walkmans from Sony, and Toyota's going to teach the rest of the world how to make cars. We're 30 years later now, and you still haven't made your money back having gone through that. The 90s, you walk into emerging markets and all you have to do is buy emerging markets because emerging markets always grow faster than developed markets. Had you bought into that within a couple of years, you'd experience permanent loss of capital as Mexico and everything from Russia to Southeast Asia imploded. Again, you did what made you feel comfortable. It was the wrong thing to do. You weren't focusing on, for example, trying to buy growth and not pay for it. And then you walk into the late 90s, and it's the dot-com boom. And then it's 2005, and it's the Federal Reserve in the United States going on television and saying to America, you have nothing to worry about. The average price of a home in the United States never falls. It made people feel comfortable to do or to buy real estate in the United States, for example. All those examples are of people making decisions that made them feel comfortable in the moment around point A that led to them not really getting to their point B successfully. It's our job to focus on being a rational business person and trying to identify where we can get growth and not pay for it. And over the long term, we've been successful at doing that.
That's fantastic. So now when we come back from the break, we're going to talk to Ty about, well, how patient do you have to be when you're buying companies for their growth without paying for it? Because there's been a lot of cases with many people in our industry that haven't performed according to plan at this point in time, but at some point will. So we're going to talk about what kind of patience an investor needs. And we're also on our seminar on November 17th, 7 p.m., live online. We're going to talk about how you bulletproof your retirement. How do you receive cash flow for the rest of your life? Now, if you want to join us for this webinar, you need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register. Okay, coming up after the break, what if the portfolio is not doing so well right now, but you've got a strategy that's designed for the long term? How patient do you have to be? We'll talk about that next on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.